The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 31st of January. The month is over.
Moving fast.
Yes. Mr. Mattson from Humboldt County Public Works, Parks, etc. is with us.
What's left of roads?
Yeah. No kidding. We'll get to that in a sec. But before we do, are you ready for your Let's Feel Smart question of the morning?
I'm looking at the title of the book. It says Stump Tom.
Yeah. We had a political stump one before for short people so they could stand up in a crowd. Just thought I'd bring that one out for you. Why is a non-relevant statement during a debate or an argument said to be beside the point?
Because it's non-relevant.
Well, let's find out, shall we? The expression beside the point is from an ancient archery and literally meant your shot is wide of the target.
Like I said, not relevant.
In how you can argue now that gets the book. Okay. In figurative meaning, that your argument is irrelevant, entered in the language about 1352, as did you missed the mark. Both suggest that regardless of your intentions, your invalid statement is outside the subject of discussion. Go ahead, throw it out again.
Sounds irrelevant to me.
Oh, jeez.
Too many definitions.
Yes, yes. Well, with all the water that we have gotten over the last little bit, how'd the county systems perform?
Not well. With the Martin Luther King weekend storm was really focused in northern Humboldt, caused, of course, the two washouts on Bear Road, stranding the community for several days. We were able to get the road open later that week, and crossing our fingers on the other side of the road because the creek came out and went down the road for about a mile and took out a big section of one side of the road for a long way. So that repair is going to take quite a while. We had half of a lane drop on the road up to Titlow Hill. We had some dropouts on Chesham Road. And then...
You're responsible for Chesham?
Oh, yeah. That's a county road.
Oh, the state just kind of ceded it over to you and 299 got the...
Every time the state realigns a state highway, the old road...
counties celebrate?
Well, the county had success many, many, many years ago when they realigned 101 and tried to give the county Avenue of the Giants.
Yeah.
We had a Senator Collier at that time.
Yeah, Randolph Collier.
Yes,
yeah.
And he put a special legislative rider in that Caltrans had to maintain that road. And I'm glad they
have.
Aren't
you fortunate on that
one? I'm glad they have, yeah. Because that road is still in pretty good shape. And if the county had it, it would not be nearly as good shape. So that's
the exception rather than the rule.
That is the exception. Usually it's pretty automatic that every road that is superseded by the new highway gets turned over to the local jurisdiction, whether it's a city or the county. So it's a pretty standard process. And also with that storm, we had the Mattole River rise, and we had washouts on Lighthouse Road heading out to the BLM property out at the beach. So we're scrambling. It was bad. It could have been a lot worse.
That's what I was saying. With all the discussion we've had over the years about the culvert replacement, if that stuff hadn't happened.
We'd be lots and lots of problems. No, we've been steadily replacing. We do culvert bids every single year to get culvert for our maintenance people, and they regularly replace as many culverts as they can. But even some of the new ones can blow out because what happened on Bear Road basically was there was so much water that it made a whole bunch of debris come down and plug the culverts. And that's just not something we have the people standing there to dig the culverts out constantly. And once the culvert's plugged, where's the water go? Over the road, down the road, takes the road down to the river.
Oh, I was actually thinking over the river and through the woods. But
well, you know, sometimes we joke that if you want to look at our road system during a storm, just go down to the mouth of any river.
Yeah, yeah, you'll see it come by.
You'll see it floating by.
Well, I know you guys have got a ton of roads. If there's only five or six different locations that were really significant like that, I almost sounds like it wasn't... a lot of the maintenance has borne fruit.
A lot of the maintenance does bear fruit, but it still hurts because I have to front the money out of the public road fund. We don't get FEMA or state funding immediately off the top. It's a long, long process to get those. And then sometimes it can take up to 10 years to get refunded. And that means that all that money I have to put out that could have been gone to maintenance is sitting there on projects while I'm waiting for reimbursement so I can backfill my maintenance fund. And that money 10 years from now is worth a lot less than the money is today.
Now, the sheriff declared a local state of emergency.
Yes. That's the first step.
Okay, so that's helpful in that process of getting some reimbursement.
Yes, and so there's monetary limits you have to hit at a minimum to even be considered for state or federal reimbursement. And ours in Humboldt County is something like $650,000 of damage, and we're well over that.
Just so folks have an idea, you mentioned the one lane was knocked out for a little bit on a road that may not have been super new.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. How much does that value for this purpose, for your reporting purposes?
Well, it's the cost is what it's going to take to replace it the way it was, basically, or if we can get a betterment. And so, you know, a small washout can be a couple hundred grand. A bigger washout can be several million.
Really?
Yes. Roads are not cheap.
So many of the roads are, at least in our area, are pretty much reformed cattle trails, right?
Many of our older main roads were the original wagon roads into the county, like the Matole Road was the original, one of the original wagon roads. The Alder Point Road was a wagon route from, you know, San Francisco to Eureka.
So when it did get whatever the upgrades were, was it necessarily as a road should be, or was it, okay, we got this, we kind of cover it up with a little bit of leaves, and we throw some rocks down, and boy, isn't this smoother, and then we throw on a little oil, and we throw on a little bit of asphalt, and there's your road in 2024.
Pretty much they evolved. They were not laid out, designed, and constructed as we would do today in the modern engineering world. When things disappear, we got bad locations, we try to get funds, and we, you know, always negotiate with property owners if we need to buy additional property to move the road. So, yes, the roads basically evolved. You know, you see the newer subdivisions, you know, those are all laid out, they're designed, they have storm drains, but the older roads that came into the community, that was the public right-of-way.
You got what you got.
You got what you got.
Thank you very much, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the Tom Matson.
I'm not from Ohio. Don't call me the anything.
Yeah, but you got the joke. With these roads that wash out, Tom, when you replace them, you had mentioned that as was, or better. I can remember one of the slides, I guess it was Lolita. I don't know what it was called. The old highway that went through there. Wash out every year. Finally, there was a recognition. You know, we can stop this merry-go-round. Let's take care of it. And yes, we've not heard about that situation recently. How do you apply for making it better so that you don't have to be back there next year?
So there is a process for that. And usually on our, you know, our bigger slide areas, we try to go through that process. And the first you have to, you know, request a funding for a geotechnical analysis from whatever agency. If they approve that, then pretty much you're going to go through a process where you're going to have a geotechnical engineer take, you know, they're going to do drilling, figure out what's really underneath there.
How deep is the blue goo?
How deep is the blue goo? Do you, you know, do you do gabions? Do you do tieback walls? But they'll come up with an improvement basically for that specific situation. And if FEMA agrees, they will fund it. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Now, is that built to today's standards, or is that better than yesterday's standard?
It's better than yesterday's standards. You know, a lot of our rural roads, they're basically one lane, one and a half lane, maybe two if we're lucky, and we don't have the right of way, or it's just too steep a terrain to do anything any wider. You know, when we talk building to current standards, you know, that's basically, from an engineering perspective, that's two 12-foot lanes with two 4-foot shoulders. A lot of times,
no bike lanes?
Not in the rural backwoods. In the urban areas or the suburban areas, yes, bike lanes. But or no parking and use the parking area for bike lanes, things like that. But the rural road system is, you know, we really like to see two 12-foot lanes and two 4-foot shoulders. That allows for big trucks like logging trucks, milk trucks, the backbone of our community to be able to use those roads and stay in their lane around some of the sharper corners. But also at least gives a little bit of an area to pull off the side of the road if you got a problem.
So it's 36 that way with some of the switchbacks?
36 is back and forth, just like a county road. Where you have the right-of-way, yes, they do put shoulders on, but a lot of the area, again, you don't have right-of-way when you're going over the last mountain pass into Red Bluff. There's not a lot of width on that road, and there's definitely not a lot of shoulder room.
Right. You got two bikes going at each other. You're in trouble sometimes.
Yes.
So that's a standard that they try to achieve.
Yes.
But not necessarily one that is universal. Even be achieved.
Yeah. It's the reality on the ground is completely different than a textbook.
Bet you've had that conversation a couple times.
I had that conversation with me when I first started by my boss. Oh. And I've learned to adopt it because the reality is the first thing you want to do is go out and see it while yourself. Before you sit down at a computer and begin designing something, you need to put your eyes on it on the ground.
See exactly what you're dealing with.
See what you're dealing with.
Now, with a lot of the storms that come through, the water will kind of erode underneath. How do you get in underneath a roadbed? Doesn't sound like it's a very comfortable place to be or a safe one. How do they determine that?
On that, again, you will look at what can I tie into underneath. So maybe you put some gabions down further down the hill and you backfill up. So, yes, it will eat out under the road in locations, and you just have to deal with it with some kind of design that holds that outer edge and then backfill behind it.
Certainly money is an issue.
It's always an issue.
If it wasn't, you're going to do things a little bit differently, or if it's first-time construction. How far will they invest in some of these repair projects?
Usually they look at 20% is kind of one of the FEMA cutoffs for a betterment. 20% of the total project cost.
Well, that leaves you high and dry if you don't have the 80%.
That's 20% above what it would cost to fix the road as it was before. So if I'm just going to go in and throw down a bunch of rocks and fill a hole and then pave over it versus putting in a retaining wall to keep the road there for much longer time, that's where it becomes tricky and trying to get the funding for that to prove that we need the betterment because, like you say, this site may have failed 5 times. Are you going to spend $1 million each year for, you know, $1 million a pop every time a storm comes through, or are you going to spend $3 million to do something better and hopefully buy more time?
When there's the waterways tied into this or in the
Permits. And more permits.
Yeah. And I wouldn't imagine that the time is condensed to be able to deal with this before, let's say, the next rain season.
Well, in the emergency, we can do a lot of things, but we do have to notify all the regulatory agencies that we are doing this. And then after the fact, we will get permits for what we've done or have to do mitigation.
Oh, so you can do the job, but you just have to let them know what the job was that you did.
If the river eats out the side, half the road, I'm going to notify the Army Corps, water quality, fish and game, that we're going in and we're going to put a bunch of rocks into the river right now and get the road back. And then we follow up with those agencies with the permitting. But if I don't notify them, they get rather upset.
And you just document how you do it so that it's to whatever the standards are that they use?
Exactly. We're not going to go in and push a bunch of dirt into the river. We know that's wrong. But we will go in and put a bunch of big rocks.
Because in theory, the rocks don't move as fast as
dirt.
Yeah, we hope. Depends on the next storm, right?
Yeah, well.
Yeah. KINS. News and information time. It's 8:30.
Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Matson from the Humboldt County Public Works for this morning.
Yep.
Public Works. So when storms like this come through, and whether it's anticipated to this extent or it's not, you got your guys, they go running all over the place. How much are they able to do in the moment?
Generally, they're able to knock rocks off the road. They're able to move mud, move slides. They're able to get out and clean culverts, whether it's with a shovel or moving with a backhoe. I mean, the four biggest tools to have in a storm are, number one, a shovel, followed by a backhoe and a loader and a dump truck.
What happened to the chainsaw?
Yeah, I forgot about that. You got to cut the trees out of the way before you can even do anything.
No? Unless you get some really big, strong kids that are on these crews.
Or if you got a really nice firewood tree and it's in the middle of the nowhere and you just put out on the radio, hey, I've got a Madrone across the road at this place. And sometimes when you get there, the tree's gone. In the backwoods, a lot of people do cut the trees out of the county roads.
That's what I was going to ask. That's not frowned upon. I would imagine that you guys are looking for all the help you can get in those scenarios.
What was Bill Clinton's military thing? Don't ask, don't tell.
I think that's been applied in a couple of other locations.
That's, how we feel about people helping us out in especially getting the trees open, because that helps the entire community.
Yeah, I would think just any of that stuff, because it really kind of gets back down to neighborhoods, doesn't it?
It gets right back down to, yes, how do you help your neighbor?
Yeah, and get that squared up. In these types of situations, the rain certainly isn't just focused on county roads.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they had the situation with 101 being closed on either end. Will Caltrans reach out to you guys for help, or vice versa? We hear about all these agreements that are going on. Is there one between county and Caltrans?
The maintenance crews do talk to each other across jurisdictions, not just with Caltrans in the county, but also with the cities, because we have a lot of county roads that intersect with cities and the cities.
You mean like Harrison?
Like Harrison, like Myrtle Ave, and if it's no different like the police. If there's something happening and somebody is closer than we are and they have the ability to help, they will help, and we'll do the same thing for cities. So we had an issue with Blue Lake, and we helped them out during the Martin Luther King storm when...
I think everybody kind of had an issue in Blue Lake.
but you do what you got to do to help your neighbors.
Yeah.
And you know, governments are actually neighbors, believe it or not. Cities and counties and Caltrans, all, we're like brothers and sisters. We may fight like cats and dogs, but when it starts to hit the fan, we all work together.
The situation with 101 closing just south of the national park, what do you see as the resolution of that? Are they going to dig the channel out of the creek a little bit more? Is it a, I would like to think it was a major concern that a U.S. highway was closed because of flooding and that they would do something about it. Is that normal for them to?
It's normal for them to look at it and see if there's anything reasonable that can be done about it. But again, you have to back up a little bit and say, that was pretty intense storm that you don't see very often.
Yeah, it was rare. Yeah.
You know, we would love to design everything for the 100-year storm, but sometimes it's just you're getting out of reach of what you can afford. And so I know Caltrans always looks at their problems. They put an army of engineers on it to try to figure out a solution. But there are a lot of constraints that are, you know, tied around construction, whether it's private construction or public construction. When you're talking a native stream, there's a lot of concerns about what you do to it.
The environmental laws certainly kick in an awful lot. When you're planning a project, obviously you've got a little bit more lead time to be able to work with some of these folks. Do they provide assistance or consultation?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll provide their recommendations. We'll go back and forth if we think something's different. But they're very, you know, they've got some pretty standard approaches to how to make it happen if you do it this way.
Did you hear the slide that's in the southern part of the county on 101? It's ongoing north of Redway. Any of those traditional areas let go or have any issues?
I'm not aware of any from the after effects of the recent storms,
yeah.
But they do go on a regular basis. You can see them creeping down. Every time it's raining and you drive by, you can see creep.
Yeah, there's a little bit of...
A little bit coming down, a little bit coming down, and they have, you know, some pretty big wide shoulders in a lot of those areas or where they can move material or the material can come down and there's room for it to come down before it goes across the road. But if it does come across the road, they can attack it from both sides and move the material off and stockpile it until they have a chance to move it to a more appropriate location.
Yeah, what do they do with... What does anybody do? You know, if there's a slide that comes down, like you said, you just don't put it in the river like the old days.
No, we all have what we call dump sites. Most of them permitted where we're permitted to fill the site up. You know, when we did Panther Gap, the state parks actually provided us a site that they had permitted on their own for their internal work to put material. And so Caltrans has a lot of sites. You know, we never have enough. We're always trying to figure out new places because there's just more material. And every time you fill a place, then you have to find a new place. So it's an ongoing struggle, but there are places all throughout the county where the cities and the county and the state have move the material to in a permitted way.
So like filling in a gully kind of thing?
A gully, or, you know, it's building a little mountain like we have out in Crenell. It's, you know, you hope it's a more of a valley because then you're just building, filling. It's a lot easier to pour downhill than it is to push uphill.
Oh, so Newton's laws apply to the county and the state also?
You're saying physics applies to government? I guess.
When we talk about inertia, I think we're all there.
Yes.
I didn't realize that gravity was also part of the package.
Gravity is part of the factor.
KINS, news and information time, it's 8:40.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice boneless beef chuck roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York strip steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A boneless skinless chicken thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:46. We're back with Tom Mattson from Humboldt County. Tom, do some of your new engineers when they show up? I mean, you were giggling a little bit about where the dirt goes and the fact that, you know, we got rivers and this stuff. Somebody from the Midwest coming here is not going to have a a chance to have a clue because it's really unique to our kind of topography. When you get somebody from out of the region coming in, whether it's from the south or from the east, how long does it take before they kind of start to get their wits about them?
Luckily, I don't think I've ever had that problem internally. We happen to have a university up here that has an engineering program, and so a lot of us...
Oh, so you'd be able to pick them off there?
A lot of us came out of Humboldt, well, now Cal Poly, but Humboldt State.
I heard that pronoun.
Yeah, well...
Okay.
I'm not going to say I graduated from Cal Poly because it was called Humboldt State when I went there. It may be Cal Poly now, but no, I'm a Humboldt State University graduate. But yes, we and they're up here, they see the terrain, and they're, you know, what one of the programs we do is we'll grab them while they're still in college and give them summer jobs in construction. And so they learn more and more each year. And then hopefully if we have an opening when they graduate, we can hire them and keep them. And they've, you know, they've got some experience. And, you know, we particularly, you know, it's with construction. So they're out in the field. They're working with the contractors. They're under getting an understanding of the reality of the real world. And so when if we're able to hire them after they graduate, they're not flatlanders. They're coming in with some understanding of construction and the constraints that we have to deal with in Humboldt County.
When folks leave here and go to other areas that don't have mountains, is the job that much simpler for them?
That I couldn't tell you, because when you're dealing with things in the valley or other places, you know, the big difference, like I say, in the Midwest and here is our rivers jump and go down. In the Midwest, you may be underwater for 3 months because it's a slow flood. And it may have ice flows in it and other things.
That's right. Yes, it's, the icebergs and all that stuff.
It's a completely different thing trying to get water to flow downhill when there's really not much downhill because the slope is so level.
Breaking out the fans and blowing real hard doesn't move it down?
It's a whole different perspective.
For folks that have your disease, is this a fun area to work because of the terrain and the various challenges, or is it overwhelming for a lot of these kids once they start seeing what the job really entails?
Well, I've always had fun because I don't believe in wasting my life not having fun. So I don't know that other perspective of misery that much.
I mean, you hear conversations down the hall.
Yeah, but, you know, if I'm not having fun, I would be in a different job.
Gotcha.
That's just the way I take my approach. And, you know, it's a challenge. And it's, you know, engineers like those challenges. They like problems because a problem needs a solution. And if you got a problem, that means you got a job because you need to solve that problem.
Do the kids coming out of school or as they're taking the classes, do they grasp that?
Some do. You know, some are just, you know, they're up here to go to the university. This is not where they're going to live. Unfortunately, you know, I happen to believe this is probably one of the most beautiful places in the world to live. And I would do a lot of different things if I wasn't doing this just to stay here. But there are others that come from urban areas. They like the urban life, and that's where they're going to go back to.
That would be paved streets, sidewalks.
Trails.
Drains the drain.
You know, concrete-lined ditches. Yeah. Concrete-lined rivers.
Isn't that so foreign? Yeah, to me, the most weird thing or concept is the LA River.
That's a concept?
You look at, well, there's a title somewhere.
No, it says, it's, you know.
Yeah, but you look at it, and it has nothing to do with a river.
It's all about moving as much water as fast as possible out of the community.
It's the LA Ditch, I can get that.
Yeah.
But not a river. Rivers have rocks in it and fish.
Well, they're actually going back and restoring parts of it.
Oh, really?
Yes, they are, here and there.
Boy, that's got to be massively expensive.
It's very massively expensive, but they are working on restoring parts of the real LA River.
Is that where your road budget is going? From the state?
I get my allocation from the state, just like every other rural county does. And it's based on vehicles, number of registered vehicles, a formula that came to the number of registered vehicles and the total miles in your system. And so if you're Orange County with 10 million vehicles, you're getting a lot more money than Humboldt County with maybe 100,000 vehicles.
And that partnership thing doesn't extend across county lines?
Well,
for funding?
It's more heavily weighted to the number of vehicles than it is to the miles of road. I can tell you that.
So if we had a distribution center here with a bunch of fleet trucks, that would really be beneficial for your purposes?
If they are registered in Humboldt County, every registered vehicle in Humboldt County is good for the county road system.
So we just need more transportation companies here.
That could be one way.
Or these things called houses.
Wow, houses. Yes, that's another way when you get people and they move in and, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a couple different ways to.
I have to reiterate, this is Humboldt County. For it to count for the roads, it has to be a registered vehicle.
Oh, so the ones on the cinder blocks don't count.
You know, the ones on the side of the road, they say March of 2010. Yeah. Nah, that's not giving me.
Yeah,
anyone.
Boy, that's a whole different problem.
That's costing money.
We could talk about that one for a while, too. No, stay dry, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by.